For the third time in 4 years, the Chiefs are going back to the Super Bowl after beating the Bengals last night. We got to dissect everything that happened there, how they get back, and what is the future, given that there's like three receivers left in Kansas City. Let's get after it today on Locked On Chiefs.
From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back, everybody. It is the day after the Chiefs have gone back to their fourth Super Bowl. Third Super Bowl? Yes. It's been a long night. I'm coming to you live down from Mobile, Alabama, where I'm here for the Senior Bowl. We'll talk about that during the next week and in a number of different ways. But this was a huge game that maybe wasn't decided the way we thought it was going to be. We're going to dig into all the different variations and things that will affect the future as they have 2 weeks to prepare for that Super Bowl against Travis's brother and everybody else. I'm Ryan Tracy from NFL 33, RGR Football, Rogue Analytics, and Performance Consulting. Check out Rogue APC. Right now, there's a discount for last year's draft guide. You can get used to everything that is coming out. Thanks for making us your first listen here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day and for free. Check out another one, maybe the draft show you might be interested in. Now that, unless you're a Chiefs-only fan, you might not. That's all right. We're going to get to it today. How are you, Chris?
I'm doing great, and today we are brought to you by FanDuel. Make every moment more. Place your first $5 bet to get $150 in free bets, win or lose. Visit FanDuel.com/lockedon to get today to get started. I love it because you are creating new words in the first segment of the show. It's awesome.
You know, when you've slept 4 hours and driven through three states just to get here when you were supposed to land 10 minutes from the hotel, yeah, it's been a night, but it was really exciting because I got to see the game from a completely different perspective. I was not in my normal studio watching environment with multiple screens and all the stats and all that going. It was very much a fan experience for me. And I was sitting in a group, a couple of Kansas City fans, but a ton of Bengal fans when I got to watch the second half live in one of the airports. Very, very different. And the shock there was different from the way that I was a little bit surprised. I was very impressed overall, and we didn't get a chance to talk last night, about how the Chiefs overcame what couldn't happen. Obviously, we knew Mahomes was going to push through and he was going to overcome that injury, at least to some extent. He actually moved around a lot better than I thought he would. But it was everyone that got hurt on the offensive side that they were able to just roll through more players, more players, more players. I think that's really the key that got them this win and got them to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and getting to the Super Bowl is obviously what they had to do. And you start talking about all the things they were able to do when they didn't have the players to do it. Le'Jarius Sneed goes out early. The rookies stepped up and had to play the entire game, basically. All three rookie corners played huge snaps for Kansas City. Three wide receivers go out, and you're down to Sky Moore, Marcus Kemp, and MVS, who MVS has struggled all season long at times with drops and connecting with Patrick. And last night, he was electric, and he is one of the reasons they won that game.
I don't know when we're going to find out, but there's going to be some story. Hopefully Matt Derrick will be able to tweeze it out of somebody about how that conversation went, because there has to be some kind of connection, something that Mahomes has to say to MVS to, hey, you're it. You're our guy. Everybody else is hurt. No more screwing around. We got to get this done. You are the dude this ball game. And obviously you have Travis Kelce there. So it's not like you're asked to be a one-man song here. But that's pretty significant difference between that and being the guy that moves the chains consistently. I was not impressed, unfortunately, with the run game last night. So it really came down to, can you move the ball in the air despite the injury to Mahomes and the injury to the wideouts? Who stood out to you the most other than MVS in stepping up and trying to take up some of that slack?
You know, honestly, I get why you weren't very happy with the running game, but what I would say is I think the Bengals specifically schemed to try to take that away from Kansas City and try to force Mahomes to beat you, which I think is funny considering it's Patrick Mahomes, but I understand the game plan and I understand why they did it, because Mahomes was injured. He was basically on one leg at a lot of it, basically what, third quarter going forward, he re-injured it a little bit running to the left. And so the game plan made a lot of sense to me. I thought Isaiah Pacheco did great catching the ball in the backfield. His running style, his ability to break tackles. He broke a tackle on Jermaine Pratt, and ran it for another 15 yards and got a huge first down for Kansas City when it looked like it was going to be stopped short. Kept the chains moving. Marcus Kemp stepping in and even having a catch in a game where he wasn't even thinking he was going to be playing. He was on the scout. Matt and I were talking about this. I don't think he got on the show last night, but Kemp was on the scout team all week long, not expecting to play, not expecting to know the book. And he got thrown into the position where he had to go play, and he made the play when it counted. And say what you want about him having that catch, I don't think that drive amounted to anything for Kansas City. But the big deal is it gave the defense a little bit more time to rest because it got him a first down, and they held on to the ball for a little bit longer.
Yeah, I mean, 5 catches on 6 targets for Pacheco. So if you can't get – and clearly they weren't letting them get going in the run game. And if they're going to take that away, fine. Because you've got the defense devoting assets, devoting time, devoting plays to that. Great. So what do? You play action. You get it out to the backs. You get it out to the swings. You try to let your athletes run. And I think they did a good job of dipping when they needed to, zigging when they had to zag. It all came out. But still, it was a hard-fought battle all the way around. We need to talk about just how many snaps those rookies played because I just checked it here. A little bit haphazard here, folks, the way that we're doing this stream here from Mobile. But that's all right. We're going to get to the defense and what it looks like going forward as well. There's this guy named Chris Jones. I'm sure you guys talked about it on the post-game stream, but, like, he's pretty good. I think we should talk about that at least a little bit. We'll do that after we talk from our pals.
Valentine's Day is coming up, which means romance is in the air more than usual. I don't need to tell you, all you lovebirds, that you probably had your date plans on the calendar for weeks, but have you found the perfect Valentine's Day gift yet? Whether you're celebrating this day of romance or whether you're ready to pop the question, you can find jewelry as unique as she is with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. At BlueNile.com, you find the perfect piece of jewelry for life's special moments or even create the custom engagement ring of her dreams. Their simple online tools let you choose the diamond size, shape, and clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft that perfect piece to your specifications. Blue Nile provides expert guidance, in-depth educational materials, and unique online tools that place you in control so you can forget the usual hassles of jewelry shopping, of the jewelry shopping process, and focus on the romance. Blue Nile's diamond price guarantee allows you to compare a competitor diamond against one of theirs. Blue Nile can even meet or beat their price. Every order is insured and it arrives quickly in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shipping is free and so are returns. Right now, you can save up to 50% at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com for up to 50% off. BlueNile.com.
I think no conversation about this game can take place. It's going to be Chris Jones all over the place. We'll get to him in a minute. But as we talked about in the last segment, it was the rookie defensive backs that had to really step up without LeJarius Sneed, without their clear leader in the corner room especially, but really in the secondary overall. And I just checked 190 rookie snaps in the AFC Championship game at the corner position. Just those three guys. It was Jalen Watson that played every snap, McDuffie all but one, and then Josh Williams came in, still played 89% of the snaps. And what you end up getting is trial by fire. We had some issues through the early season, obviously. McDuffie missed time. As Watson early had the big play against San Diego, and then he got hurt, which we didn't even know at the time. Williams got some reps. So it all came together that these guys, like I said last week, aren't rookies anymore because they came up big. They played all those snaps. What was it? 2 PBUs for McDuffie and an interception each for Josh Williams and Jalen Watson. This is now a trial by fire group. Yes, it's a different set of issues that they'll face against the Eagles. We'll talk about that in the days coming up. But this is arguably the best wide receiver core they were going to face in this playoff run, maybe in the league, period. Just to have that resiliency, I think, sets them up for victory in the Super Bowl. But were you surprised at how effective they were?
I was extremely surprised. I was really dreading Joshua Williams coming in. And it wasn't because I thought he played bad all season. I think it was just that he has struggled at times throughout the year. He is very handsy. He likes to get his hands on guys. He likes to be physical. And that can cause penalties in the wrong situations. It didn't happen last night. I thought he played a great game. Rookie corners get beat. Corners get beat, period. Say what you want about T. Higgins' touchdown catch. I will just say that was a hell of a throw by Joe Burrow. It's a hell of a play by T. Higgins. Watson didn't get his head around, but I don't know that he could have done much even if he did get his head around. And you're sitting there in a situation where later in the game, Brian Cook, who gets a couple of penalties in the game that cost Kansas City, tips the ball. Your boy Brian Cook tips the ball, gets it to Williams on an interception. McDuffie almost had an interception. Jalen Watson showed his athleticism on the first interception. They played phenomenal, and it is a very – the thing that I just can't get over is I know we're talking about the corners, but you turn over five of the wide receiver positions or six of the wide receiver positions in Kansas City this year, and you turn over pretty much the entire cornerback group. That's huge. That's after doing the offensive line the year before. Credit where credit is due. Brett Veach did an amazing job.
Absolutely. And cheers to Brian Cook. I know he's been a hothead. He's come up on the negative side of a couple of things. I know there was that PI in this game as well. But
don't care about that, though.
Right. You'd rather see that hit get made and send a message than just let that completion happen, right?
Yep.
But when you take a step back, It's been an evolution for every single one of these rookies on defense. The only guy who's been a nice, steady evolution is George Karlaftis, because he's played from the beginning, he's played well, he's done his thing, and he's starting to adapt and develop a few extra skills. But those secondary guys, I'm really satisfied, really happy to see Brian Cook. He's getting to the place where I had hoped that he would get when we talked preseason. I was really excited about him because he has that X factor capability as long as he can control himself. So I think you saw this here. And I think Josh Williams, like you were saying, the physicality of his nature, I think you have an option now against A.J. Brown to put him up there and let him get beat up. He's going to lose to A.J. Brown a number of passes in this coming Super Bowl. But he's a guy that can turn and run with him when he has to. He can be physical with him at the point of attack. You can stack a safety over the top of him to give him help deep. And I think that is probably a formula we'll talk about more next week about how you attack A.J. Brown and try to remove him. They have had success in the past when he was playing in Tennessee. It's about controlling that combination of the quarterback and A.J. now. But these corners go a long, long way in getting that done, as well as Cook. What I didn't get to see, because I haven't been able to watch the film yet, the safety play felt a little bit up or down to me in what I was able to see. Is that enough to have Cook be the number three? I thought Thornhill was in a couple of good spots. There was a couple that got away from them. They're going to have that against the Eagles. And so how would you grade out the safeties?
Really quick on Cook. Cook, his pass interference penalty, I didn't care about, because that is him trying to figure out the timing of when to hit a player. He's going to have those plays. You're a rookie. You're trying to learn. You're trying to do the best you can. You go hit the guy. If it's a little early, it's a little early. It didn't cost the Chiefs a whole lot of yardage. And obviously, it's a penalty. It is what it is. Then later in the game, he gets beat by Jamar Chase on the exact route, but on the opposite side of the field that T. Higgins was being thrown to, and Williams got the interception. So he learned from the first one, wasn't able to stay up with Chase, got beat over the top, and learned going back into the second one. Got his hand on the ball, made a fantastic play on the ball, got Williams the interception. You look at the safeties, and I think that Justin Reed showed up last night. I think that I don't really even remember him being targeted, but he was in the middle of the field, you know, doing his thing. And then you go watch what Thornhill did, and you watch what Cook did. The safety group is going to have to step it up for the Super Bowl, because the Eagles have a lot of weapons. But I will say this: Kansas City is facing Jalen Hurts. They're not facing Joe Burrow. I'm not saying Jalen Hurts can't beat you. He can with his arm, but it's not the same as facing Joe Burrow.
And let's be real. We're going to have to talk about the game plan, because it is the running attack of the Philadelphia Eagles that is going to be the problem, especially without Willie. I haven't seen an update on him yet as we record this today, folks. But we got to talk pass rush. We got to talk about how the offensive line felt up. It is going to be about the trenches, as it is every game. But this one in particular against the Bengals was very key. We'll see where it evolves from here, and we'll talk about that on the backside of this.
And I want to tell you about our newest friends over at FanDuel. This year, the only app you need for your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On, because they're the number one sportsbook in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sports app, book app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to gain your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL.
Now, the pass rush clearly got there, and kudos to Chris Jones. I know you guys talked about him finally getting off the playoff sack Schneid, but it's more than just Chris. It was the front as a whole. What Chris brings in terms of drawing attention helps everybody else. You had Frank Clark show up, and I know we've been waiting all two seasons now for Frank to show back up, right? This honestly feels like the last two games, a resurgence of what we saw in 2019 when he came on for the postseason. And if that's the case, it justifies it. He's got four quarters left to play in Kansas City. He's got to go get it. That will help him in his future. But the contributing factors of Mike Dana, I thought Colin Saunders had a couple of nice plays. Obviously, Karloftis got home as well. George, I think I got moved around a little bit more than I expected for him. But overall, I think a solid game from everybody up front, supporting the linebackers and keeping them cleaner anyway. Do you think that they held up well enough to be ready in 2 weeks?
So, update on Willie Gay. I think that he'll probably be fine. I saw him on the field celebrating afterwards. I think Matt said that it's in the locker room. He looked like he'd probably be okay for this next game. We'll see how that ends up. We'll find out about Snead. This is his second concussion. That's going to be a little bit more of a problem this time around. You start looking at the defensive line, and I think the bigger key, Chris Jones had a fantastic game, and I'm not trying to take anything away from him at all in his game, although actually this is actually more on him than it probably is on anybody else. He forced them to have seven blockers on a lot of their routes. He forced them to put in two more blockers than they wanted to. You want to know why Kansas City was able to slow down Cincinnati? It's because he forced them to double team him, and then Frank Clark forced them to try to double team him just to try to give Joe Burrow time. That's why they had time after the first drive. That's why they got sacks late in the game, because they were trying to push the ball and they only had five protecting. And you can't do that with Chris Jones on a right tackle that's not even in this league. So Jones had a fantastic game. Frank Clark had a fantastic game. Karloftis got a sack. Willie Gay had a nice rush from the edge. And the thing that you loved about seeing Willie's rush from the edge is Clark cleaned it up. Clark came and helped him with the sack, and they got it from the same side. So regardless of sending a blitz with Willie, you know, Frank Clark was still able to get home over that side as well.
Yeah, agreed. And, you know, hopefully they do get Willie back. We obviously like what he brings, right? He's the best athlete from his class at linebacker level. And I think that's paying off now, especially that he's a little less frenetic, a little more diligent where he has to go. I was a little bit surprised that I think Chanel played five snaps. I thought that they would need him a little bit more. It looked like there were times when they needed to run. Were you surprised, or how pleasant were you with Chanel, the rookie that we really haven't talked about on defense because he's been buried behind two of the better players on the roster?
Well, when Willie went down, I thought Chanel was maybe going to be able to step in a role and maybe be a rush guy. I thought maybe they would send him on a blitz once or twice, but they never really seemed to. Cincinnati kept trotting out lineups that didn't allow him to have three linebackers on the field, and they went with Harris. And I'm like you, I haven't had a chance to rewatch the film, so I can't say that Harris had a great game, but I didn't see anything that really made him stand out, which is usually a pretty good sign. at that level, if you were playing linebacker against this team, you were going to have a hard time, and Harris stepping in and being able to fill Willie Gay's shoes to an extent really helped Kansas City last night.
It goes a long way. On the offensive side, you have to have the same thing. Obviously, Wiley had the penalty. I'm sure you guys covered that it was
weak.
Thin is probably a good way to put that. But overall, you got to feel pretty decent about it. It didn't turn into the bloodfest it could have at the left tackle spot. I felt like overall the unit was there. Patrick did have to scramble more than I would have liked on that ankle. But that's a front that has kind of had your number in the past. And I felt overall as a unit, they stepped up and took care of business. Now, the Philadelphia front's going to be quite different. We'll talk about Hassan Reddick in a lot of ways. It is a different aspect, but the thing that I like about getting past these Bengals is I feel like the physicality that we talked about last week was what the Bengals had in spades in terms of an advantage over the Chiefs. I don't know if that's the case for the Philadelphia Eagles. They feel very much in the vein of the Chiefs in terms of a little bit more speed, a little bit more technique, not like the raw power defensive front. So I feel good about that. And if they can hold up against the Bengals like they did last night, I feel good about going forward to the Eagles. Was there a weakness that I missed? Is there something that we have to be concerned about on the offensive line?
You know, honestly, Wiley, his hold called back a touchdown. I think that hurt Kansas City, but he held there. Say what you want on that. His other penalty, the taunting, was very weak. The refs are going to call what they're going to call, and we've had our share. Kansas City's had their share of bad calls go against them this year, and I'm sorry. I don't know where you could really call the Bengals having a bad time last night. They lost that game at the very end with a stupid play where Patrick was clearly out of bounds before he even started the shove. That is going to cost you every single time, and it doesn't matter who the QB is or who the player is. They should be throwing the flag for that every single time because he was way out of bounds. So you look at this game, you look at the offensive line, I think they played very well. I think Orlando Brown played well. The interior three I thought played well. I think Smith is a little banged up right now. He's fighting through it, and he's still continuing to play pretty well. Andrew Wiley, I think, played really well. He's going to have his hands full going up against the Eagles. But this whole team is going to have a fight on their hands going up against the Eagles. This Eagles team is really good. Their defense is fantastic. They have a lot of guys that they can throw at you in the pass rush. That's going to be something that they're going to have to watch. The thing that I do like about it going into the next game, you're right, Mahomes ran probably a little bit more than you would have liked last night. He's going to have 2 weeks now to try to recover on that ankle. He looked better than I think anybody thought he possibly could have in that game last night. And let's not forget, he played that game basically on one leg, but he played it almost without his best weapon in Travis Kelce as well, with Kelce having back spasms and almost being a game-time decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's the incredible part. We should know more about player updates here in the next 48 hours. And that's going to be key because of that situation with Travis playing through those back spasms. That makes it harder to project another performance like this in the next ball game. Certainly, MVS stepped up. Can we expect that kind of performance multiple times? We're going to have to talk about that because we don't know the situation with Kadarius, with McColl. Obviously, kudos to Sky Moore. I know not only did he have an impact on the pass game, but it was the returns, the things that have haunted him all season that he was able to produce on. You have to feel good about that for me going into the Super Bowl as well, if he is pressed into that many snaps again. We will talk about that and cover the rest of the bases. Matt will be back here today. I'll be tied up down here with the draft prospects.
Yeah, and how about Harrison Butker? Rough season for him. Came up clutch, didn't miss a kick. And quite honestly, I know people were saying that kick probably wasn't good from 50. I think he put it up in the air specifically trying to make sure it didn't get blocked.
Maybe. And in the end, I don't care. And no one else should either. Kickers will always and forever be judged on their last kick. Whatever's happened this season, it's in the past. As long as he kicks his opportunities and makes them now, all will be forgiven. No, this nonsense that he's not a top four kicker any longer will go away. I just hope that it's stability in that lower joint that can allow him to replicate this performance, even if it's not quite from the distance that we'd hope.
And Matt said that he doesn't think that Bucker's going to be fully 100% until after the season's over. So more than likely, he's going to have to get healed in the offseason. The nice thing is he's not going to be kicking in cold weather because it's going to be in Arizona. That's going to help. He's not going to be kicking a cold ball. That'll give him at least another 5 yards, if not more, being able to kick in that cold weather. I will say this. I'm kind of glad that it was a 45-yard kick to win the game as opposed to a 35-yard kick because he has struggled inside the 40 a little bit more than you would have liked.
You've got a very good point there. Let's keep it to the 40s. I think I'm very comfortable with that. So, folks, what was the big takeaway for you? Leave us your comments here on the YouTube channel. Like, sub, and hit the bell over there. Subscribe on the audio platforms. If you're seeing us embedded somewhere, Lord knows where that is, but you can sign up on all the subs, whether it's Spotify or Apple or however you want to get yours. We'll have Matt Derrick tomorrow with Chris. I'll be down here at the Senior Bowl. We'll have some updates for you that way as well. Check out NFL 33 for our updates from Senior Bowl as well. This show is going to continue all week long. We don't have a crossover this week because we get to prepare for the Super Bowl. So you're going to see some changes. We're going to do shows specifically to the topics that have to come into the Super Bowl preparation. So thanks for your time and your patience. It's going to be a fun couple of weeks. Get ready for that next Super Bowl. Thanks for being with us today, and we'll catch you tomorrow.